When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Bastards Pod. This is a weird voice to hear, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got to come up with some sort of, what do we,
there we what go.
Here he goes.
You know? Did a perfect me.
I did a perfect you. What do you, hey.
Yeah.
I would, in Portland.
I would do a prop intro, but nobody needs to hear me try to sing. this is a Hood Politics Behind the Bastards crossover behind the Hood Politics Bastards. The hood.
It's like when they do Grey's Anatomy and Station 19 on TV, but better.
What?
Yeah, they used to do this in the 90s, like sitcom eras all the time.
Yeah. Like, they used to do the crossover episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how technically The X-Files and The Wire are in the same universe.
Yeah,
it's right there. Mm-hmm. Scully came through to get a nice little bump of crack. Speaking of crack,
that is a good introduction, and will get me off of talking about what a fun crossover Mulder and McNulty would have been.
We are getting
behind the Hood Bastards, because we're talking about the crack epidemic and the Central Intelligence Agency.
It's like the perfect, yeah, also a perfect crossover.
That also you wouldn't a perfect crossover,
wouldn't
yes.
think you'd need.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I will say, I get a little frustrated, as we'll be getting into in my episodes, whenever people are like, the CIA brought crack to the inner city. Because, like, guys, the NSC was a big part of it, too.
Very
You big. Know, Ollie North was not slacking on this. Let's not give the CIA all the credit.
This is what you will learn, you know? Saying you need to give people, put some respect on their name. The NSC needs the respect. You won't hear the respect right now.
That's branding right there.
Yes.
All right.
Good little reverse. You ready for this reverse bastard? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I am ready. Let's do it.
Bro, okay. Sophie, how you feeling?
I feel like I don't have a script, which means it's like a normal Bastards episode, because Robert doesn't send me the script when I ask him to send it to me either.
That's true.
That's right, I mean, Sophie.
Listen, here's the thing. It's important. I don't know when this is coming out, but I think it's important to acknowledge that this is the day after Queen Elizabeth passed, and probably doubling as One of the greatest days on Black Twitter ever.
Oh my God. Black Twitter and Irish Twitter were both just firing on all cylinders.
It was just Voltron of melanated people. Like people that season their food just all got together and had a barbecue and was roasting the hell. And it's almost like y'all asked for it because didn't nobody ask y'all to make her the symbolic figurehead of all that is the British Empire. No. Y'all made her that.
Yeah, people are doing this whole thing where they're like, well, but she didn't really do, you know, she's not the one who did all of the colonialism. It's like, number one, she was 31 years old when her government put like a million Kenyan people in concentration camps during Mau Mau uprising. Number one, let's talk about Mau Mau.
Some of that is on her. Is on her watch.
Some of that, in fact, did happen while she was in charge. Yes. And number two, it's funny because she is representative of a terrible government. And so let's laugh at it. And look, people are like, hey, your country doesn't have anywhere to talk. You guys made Donald Trump the president. Absolutely fine. Let's laugh when he dies, too.
It will be also funny when he dies.
Yeah, it'll be great when he dies. Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, you're right. And I would hope that you would participate in the jokes.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is it was like these were I saw a tweet that said, we're mourning more than the death of a woman, but the death of a world. And I was like, from your mouth to God's ears, homie.
Who's mourning that?
Yeah, number one, we not. And that's our point. That's why we cracking jokes. Is I'm pretty... You made her the picture of 650 years of oppression. You did, not me. So if that's the case, then we got something to say.
Yeah, I am fairly certain that Rudyard Kipling, the poet laureate of the British Empire, wrote a whole poem about how that world wasn't very good.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
A couple of them, actually. Yeah. Anyway,
it was one of the greatest days on Twitter. Now, let's get back to what we're going to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll try to again, try to start in your way. Hey, what do you know about... What are your feelings on cocaine there, Robert?
Well, you know, look, I think it's not my favorite drug. I think as a general rule, overrated, certainly more expensive than...
Overpriced.
Like, if I'm going to do a stimulant, right? If I really need to, like keep myself wired, I'm going to roll right on down to the old Walgreens. I'm going to get up, pick up some Benzedrex inhalers, the ones that have Benzedrine in them. I'm going to pop that little cotton thing outside of the center, and I'm going to dunk it in a water bottle, and I'm going to drink me some Benzedrine. Some, like, classic 70s speed, you know? And then I'm going to drive for 37 and a half hours. but... If I want to, you know, I've had some good times on cocaine. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And if you get the opportunity to snort a line of cocaine off of somebody's ass, you should take it. It's a worthwhile life experience.
I mean, I feel like when you add all those additives, like this on my ass, I'm like, well, I mean, that's a different story. I
think that is a different story.
By itself, I'd be like, I'm from Los Angeles. So it's like you walk into somebody's party and they're like, hey, how you doing? What's up, man? Welcome in. Make sure you take your shoes off, you know, because it's a Hollywood party. And they're like, hey, coffee's over there, bar's over there, Coke's over there. We'll be cool. So it's like, it's so ubiquitous growing up in LA. And I've been able to be like, oh, I'm cool on that room. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't need to go to the Coke room. But if you add that... There's a booty to snort off it.
Yeah, we're going to be snorting off of someone's. Sure, that's an experience, right?
That kind of added a wrinkle. Yeah.
There's a thing like clubs in Berlin and stuff. It's really fun to go to a club where you're going to be there for like 30 hours and like periodically take trips to the bathroom with your friends to do lines. But if I'm going to be doing lines in like the bathroom of a club in Berlin, I would prefer they be lines of ketamine than cocaine. That's where I stand on cocaine.
You talk about drugs the way underground rappers talk about rap. Just like, it's the most obscure shit. Like, what way guitar nerds talk about like pedals and bands. No.
The best place to snort drugs that I've ever snorted drugs is the Kit Kat Club in Berlin. It goes down like 5 stories. It doesn't close for 3 or 4 days at a time. Great place to do lines in a bathroom. Absolutely number one.
Word. Dog, that sounds like quite an experience.
Yeah, my German listeners are nodding along and going, like, yes, absolutely.
Yep. That's the part of German culture don't nobody tell you about. While the nerds was goose stepping, you know what I'm saying? Y'all was downstairs running, just getting bumps and rails.
I actually think the club is made out of an old bomb shelter, but don't quote me on that.
Don't quote you.
So cocaine, you know, mixed opinions.
Good. Well, I'm glad you think that, because we're going to talk about Iran-Contra.
And Hell yeah!
Which ends with... that's the hard part sometimes with the Bastards thing, is like trying to figure out, one, who the bastard is, and where to start the story. But we definitely know that this ends with the loss of Whitney Houston. This ends the destruction of South Central and New York and the total flooding of our prisons. So we know that it ends there.
And it's kind of Iran-Contra, and I think this is probably how we'll wind up having the episodes released. Iran-Contra is kind of the middle of the story, right? Because you have this period where the CIA is fucking around with some of the ideas that get turned into Iran-Contra that, honestly, some of them start like 30, 40 years before this. We'll talk about But yeah, this is kind of, this is the middle. And it's the middle, so normally I think like, It was difficult when I was plotting out my episodes because it doesn't connect directly to the crack trade, or it does, but it's hard to understand why it connects directly to the crack trade if you don't have the first and the end parts of it. But also, Iran-Contra is a fucking crazy story on its own, and you have to tell it like that. So I think what we're doing is smart. People will get the full context. But yeah, let's dive in. I can't wait to talk about my boy Ollie North.
Oh man, we got some juice on him. Future bastard star.
Yeah.
So crack attack, this story, what eventually cocaine, crack cocaine, Iran-Contra, all this stuff that he's talking about, Oliver North, it's almost like the, at least for hood politics or for any sort of still living black or brown person that didn't necessarily live through like Jim Crow era or civil rights movement, if you're somehow younger than that, this is sort of like, this is the backdrop that we all kind of understand. It basically laid the playground, the map for almost everything we talk about for a number of reasons. It's almost like how like in Game of Thrones, you've just accepted that there are dragons in their world. You know what I'm saying? Or like in Lord of the Rings, like Middle Earth is just a planet. And there are things that like, you know, the characters aren't necessarily pointing at going, oh yeah, yeah, there's such things as hobbits, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and orcs are because of Saruman, and there was actually an ancient history. Like, this is just the map. So if for you to understand a lot of gang violence, Crips, Bloods, all this stuff in the inner city, like, this is part of the map that's necessary. But what's so crazy about it is how it's connected to geopolitics. But like Robert's trying to lay out with y'all is, where do you start this story? Do you start it with World War II? Do you start it with the Monroe Doctrine? Do you start it with McCarthyism? You know what I'm saying? Because all of this stuff, the reason why Iran-Contra had to happen is because of these other contexts, right? So let's go ahead and dive in, you know?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, you're coming out of World War II, starting the Cold War, and this might be review for everybody, but you know, the Cold War was ultimately a war of ideas. Like, whose idea gets to run the block, right? Who gonna run the world, whether it's, you know, liberal democracies or communist socialist regimes? Crips, Bloods, Vice Lords, Norteños, Sureños, it don't make no difference if you just live here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all all gangsters. It don't make no difference. Y'all just trying to run whatever turf you have. And at the end of the day, for us as like regular civilians, just like in the hood, it's like you repping where your mama pay a rent. Like, I didn't choose this neighborhood. We just happen to live here. You know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, right, if you run in this block, the last thing you want is the enemy to be able to set up too close to home. Right? That's the last thing you want. So the way that like Cold War was,
go ahead. Yeah, you see versions, by the way, of this logic and like why Russia did what they did in Ukraine, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's this whole idea that you don't want the enemy setting up, like, and it's fucked up what they're doing in Ukraine, and what we're about to talk about the U.S. doing is pretty fucked up too. Yeah,
the same. That's their whole thing about like, we can't have y'all join NATO.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the enemy. Like, y'all can't be clicked up with these people literally right next door. You can't have that, which was ultimately what happened through the 60s, 70s, and 80s in Central and South America. America was like, we can't be having no communists on our soil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's too close to home. Now, granted, and it's so crazy because if you knowing your stories, knowing your Cold War history, if you talk a Korean War, you know, Vietnam War, we was cool with like compromise. We was cool with like going 50-50 on places as long as it was over there. You know what I'm saying? Right? Because, you know, North Korea and South Korea, that was an agreement. We was like, okay, cool. Y'all can have North. We'll take South. You know what I mean? Y'all support them. We'll see who the prophet is. We'll see how everything works out. And then, but if fools start feeling froggy, you know what I'm saying? Then we gonna come rep our turf. Right?
Yeah.
Which is the proxy wars of that time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, a lot of this situation stems from the idea of, I just want to be the biggest dog on the block and I can't be letting nobody come into our turf, right? And these two operations, Iran and Contra, ultimately was actually a very brilliant hustle. But if speaking in like criminal sense, it's pretty brilliant. But it should have landed Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. in jail.
Oh yeah, at the end of the day, a bunch of other people. It did. It did a lot land of people that should have went to jail. In jail.
Yes. A lot of people should have went to jail.
Yeah.
So look, so let's start in, this is the middle of the story. So let's start in the middle of the middle. Let's just get real weird here. Get all Tarantino on this mug. So I'm going to start at October 5th, 1986. There's this cargo plane, a Soviet-bought plane with Soviet-made AK-47s and mad weapons flying over the jungles of Nicaragua. And the plane had no plans on landing. It was just going to drop its cargo and fly on off. And the guy that was flying it, we'll get to his name later because it's the most just white bread American name ever, right? So he's flying over and he's about to drop these weapons over this this jungle in Nicaragua. And there was a young man named Jose Alemán who sees him in the sky, reads the lick, and he like, you ain't supposed to be over here. Shoots the plane down. Just from the jungle.
You probably shouldn't have done that, Jose. Yeah. This might not end well for anybody.
Yes. Shoots the planes down. Now, the question is, who is Jose repping? Jose's repping the Sandinistas. Now, the Sandinistas are a socialist party in Nicaragua who overthrew a dictatorship in 1979. Why this was such an issue was because this dictatorship was really cool with the U.S. Reagan and them like really clicked with them. It was everything worked out. You did your part. I did mine. Everything was cool. They were super supportive, like that dude. But then the Sandinistas came and overthrew this dude. And Sandinistas' crime, as far as America's concerned, is they socialist. And that's too close. You too close to our hood. You can't be doing no socialist stuff over here, right? So the Sandinistas were the ones that shot this fool down, right? So the fool gets shot down. Jose Alemán turns him into his big homies. The big homies, the Sandinistas, put this fool on TV, right?
Oh boy.
After he gets shot down. So they put this fool on TV in Nicaragua and they was like, all right, hey, yo, ¿cómo se llama? You know what I mean? Like, what's your name? Tell the folks your name. He was like, Gene Hassenfoss.
That's not a real name.
That boy's name was Gene Hassenfoss.
That's not a real name. Don't fuck with me. No.
They was like, don't they edit? They was like, don't they edit? Like, where are you from? He was like, Wisconsin. Like,
a motherfucker.
Gene Hassenfoss from Wisconsin was flying.
Gene, get the fuck out of there. You're not supposed to be in Nicaragua. What are you doing? Mamas.
Gene Hassenfoss was flying a plane full of cargo or weapons over a jungle in Nicaragua. They was like, so why don't you tell the people why you here? Gene Hassenfoss from Wisconsin goes, well, the CIA told me to come here and drop off these weapons for the Contras. He just tells him exactly why he here, right? Now, your next question should be, who are the Contras? Now, if you are around my age, the first time you ever heard of the term Contras was a video game where you was going up, up, left, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start. You remember this, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how you get 30 men on the Contra game. Who knew that Contra was wartime propaganda?
I have that tattooed in a part of my body I can't talk about on the
Let's
air.
Let's go. It was a really important moment in history. It's like you learn how to hack a game, like 30 men. Anyway, so the Contras were the group of people who were trying to overthrow the Sandinistas. They were a pro-democracy, anti-socialist rebels, right?
They build themselves as pro-democracy.
Yeah,
story. Yeah, that's the claim they're making.
Yes, at this point in the story, that's what
they are. Even though the Sandinistas have overthrown a dictatorship, and the government they put in place is going to have some problems too.
Absolutely.
But the fucking Contras, a big part of what they're doing is like, well, let's go back to the way things were.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
When we had that dictator. Yeah.
No.
Because the dictator, it was one of those dictator where you've got elections, but they're not real. You all know the story.
Yeah,
right?
it's kind of like, okay, so you're having problems at school, right? With some dudes, right? And you go ask the last person you should go ask, like, you know, your cousin Mark, you know what I'm saying? Your cousin Mark's like, oh, you need help? We'll give you help.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, is this juice worth the squeeze? Right. Mm-hmm. Your cousin Mark is saying, hey, I'm just doing this because I'm your cousin, man. I love you. I'll set everything straight. No, cousin Mark is not necessarily the person you should be clicking with. So anyway.
Yeah. Cousin Mark may be
Cousin Mark may come back for a favor later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's some phone calls you don't make because they're going to cost more than they're giving you. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they put the boy on TV. He was like, yo, the CIA told me to drop this stuff off. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with civics, laws, or anything like that, but that's pretty illegal. You can't just be dropping off weapons in a country like that, right? So once the Sandinistas put this man on TV for everybody to see, they like, all right, America, you got something to say? Look, here go your boy, right? So the U.S. Secretary of State, a man named George Shultz, who we will talk about a lot later.
Oh boy.
Yes, we will.
Theranos board member George Shultz.
Yes.
Don't you dare forget it.
Yes. This man come to the podium and is like, I'm sorry for that man, but I don't know who he is. first of all,
If a government official, and this is any government, comes up after something like this happens and says, we don't know who that, if they specifically go up to say, we don't know that man, that's their man.
That's their boy.
That's the way that all, we all know it, right?
Yeah. Come on, man.
That's their guy.
That's their boy. Yeah. He was like, look, that man did he have no military ID on him? Was he part of the CIA? That's a private citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That man decided on his own, and he's of free will to have military grade weapons that he could fly over a country on a plane.
Who among us hasn't been in that situation?
Was not inspired. Yes. Of course, that's a lie, right? But the NSC, which we will again talk about later, had a code name called Project Democracy, which is what was actually happening at that moment. And the leader, and again, we mentioned before, future pod star Oliver North, knows that this is all cap, and he's actually in charge with all of this. And that is absolutely our guns, that's absolutely our money, and that's absolutely what's happening. We was giving weapons to the Contra. But we gotta back up to figure out how we got there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So let's introduce some players here. You know, Robert Bud McFarlane. You heard of this dude?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Robert Bud McFarlane. He's the NSC chair.
He's the NSC chair.
Yeah.
He used to work for Kissinger and Nixon and was like totally admired them.
And he is when we talk about cold warriors, this man is a hardcore cold warrior. Whatever you have to do to stop the spread of communism is justified kind of guy. Not a dude, does not give a shit about elections.
You get it how you live in. We out here.
And McFarlane is also, one of the things that's interesting about him, he is the first guy to centralize U.S. intelligence, like information, through a computer system, effectively. Like, they have this system of terminals in the White House, and I believe also in the Pentagon, that basically all intelligence from every agency is getting routed through. And he's the first guy who does that. And when he centralizes the flow of that information, he's also centralizing power for U.S. intelligence operations in the NSC in a way that it hadn't been for a while.
Partially because of this debacle.
Yeah.
It was like,
exactly. The left hand doesn't know what the right is doing. Right? And they're not, by the way, because we're so used to these people lying all the time, when like guys like Schultz get up and say, we don't know that guy, they're not always lying. They're not always lying that they don't know that guy, because that's the smart way to do it, right? If you're the CIA or whatever, you don't necessarily want the fucking SecDef or the chief of staff or the NSC head to know what all your guys are doing. It's better if they can honestly be like, I don't know that. And you also, we'll talk about this more in my episodes, there's guys in the CIA who can honestly say, no, we're not doing this, because in their, from what they know, they don't know that that's going on, because all of these people are lying to everyone, including each other. That's the way that the intelligence industry works.
Exactly. And it's plausible deniability. And listen, how I survived living in the cities I've lived in was be like, don't tell me, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Like, I don't know how this fool got here. I don't know how you paid for that. I don't know why. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So when you ask, it's the honest truth. I don't know who that is. I ain't never met that man. Yes. Yeah. So who actually, another little tidbit about Bud McFarlane, actually took his own life later on.
Good for him.
I mean, I don't know how he was going to get out of this. So
critical support.
But let's back up even from this point. So we got Robert McFarlane, or Bud McFarlane, as he's called. And you got Ronald Reagan, you got Oliver North, you got George Bush Sr. But let's go back to October 23rd, 1983 in Beirut. Okay. And on this day, there's this Marine barrack that's in the middle of Lebanon, right? In Beirut, that's just kind of posted up to, air quotes, keep the peace during a Lebanese civil war.
Yeah, and it does a great job of that.
It does a great job.
Keeps everything peaceful, yeah.
Yeah, because Beirut's, you know, since we got there, never had any problems. You know, it was fine, right?
Doing great today.
It's doing great. You know what? And as a side note with this story, I'm so off the rails, but I think this is what I love about this show. So, speaking of how well they've done at keeping peace in Beirut, I remember I was at this event up in the Colorado Mountains, I was performing for these freakishly wealthy people. It was a dope thing. It was like entrepreneurship for good. So these people are not annoying wealthy, they're just wealthy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
oh, you still work for money kind of wealthy, that type of wealthy, right? So we were talking about, I think this was right before the pandemic, so it was early 2020, and we were talking about what was happening on the Syria and Iraq border with the Kurds, and just some stuff was going on, and it was like, dang, that's crazy. And then it was this one lady was like, wait, what are you talking about? And she was clearly Arab. She's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, dang, what's happening in Syria and Iran border? And she was like, what? I haven't heard of that. And I was like, in my head, I completely judged her. And I was like, see, you know what? Wealth. When you just get rich, man, you just don't never know what else is going on. And she was like, oh, no, I don't think you understand. I'm from Beirut. And she was like, there's always this.
Yeah,
we've been in civil war my whole life. It's always like this. So I thought this was something that just wasn't what it always was. And I definitely got corrected because I was like, man, I judged this lady. She done lived through some of the worst.
Yeah.
Some of the worst type of violence.
It's another fucking fight on the block for her. And the names are different, but it's another fight on the goddamn block, right?
It's East LA shooting out fireworks. It's like, that's just, I don't even notice anymore. So, but during this time, one day early in the morning, truck comes barreling through their gates, boom, crashes into their barrack, 2,500 pounds of TNT, blows the whole shit up, leaves 244 people dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Total asymmetrical warfare, something that America hadn't seen before at the time, right? And it was clearly obvious who did it. It was Hezbollah. The worst kept secret in the world. Hezbollah, they hiding right there in that valley. They the ones who did this, right?
Yeah.
And asymmetrical warfare, for everybody who doesn't understand, it's a very simple situation that all of us in our lives have had to do this at some point, where you have somebody that's just towering bigger than you. It's ridiculous to try to square up with them.
Yeah, Hezbollah's not going to take on couple of hundred Marines fully suited up with air support. But if you ram a fucking bomb into the barracks, you can achieve the same end.
Listen,
it works pretty well for
them. Listen, if you were to mouth off so bad, and it would never happen, but if you were to mouth off so bad to Sophie, and Sophie decided, okay, you know what? I'm gonna have to fuck this dude up, right? Mm-hmm. Which would never happen. But Sophie, my suggestion to you would be, you need to bite, you need to kick, you need to grab bats. There is no such thing as playing fair. He is twice your size. This is asymmetrical. You do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Again, this would never happen.
This is why Sophie keeps that Ryder truck packed full of explosives outside of my house.
Just in case.
Just in case. That's right.
Yeah. So,
I also do have a lot of United States Marines quartered in my home, but that's a separate story.
Right on the other side of that screen. One of them just walked by. Y'all ain't see that? Put a shirt on, bro. So blew it up, did this. And like we said, Bud McFarland, former Marine, super cold warrior, is like, we can't let this shit ride.
Well, and fucking Reagan. So Reagan has just come to office after pushing Carter out. And the thing he runs on is all of these guys got captured in Iran and Carter couldn't get them out, right? They had a failed rescue attempt. He's weak. He's made America weak on the national stage. And I'm gonna make sure that Americans are protected overseas, right? This is a huge deal.
Facts.
And this is not the only thing that Reagan's dealing with. There's an unprecedented surge in attacks on U.S. embassies when Reagan is in office. I think more than under any other president. This is a real problem for him because he's staring at re-election, and this is fucking it's not a 9/11 level thing, but for people of that era, it was like pretty close. This is like a huge fucking deal.
This was absurd. Yeah. Like because it was so, it was more like the disrespect. Like, this is the audacity, dog. Like, y'all don't, no one respects your gangster no more. Right. So, like you said, Bug McFarlane, George Schultz, who we talked about before, they all agree. They're like, man, we can't let this ride. But there was some dissenting voices. Defense Secretary Casper Weinberger, right?
Yeah.
He was like, listen, y'all got to chill.
The most reasonable man in the administration.
Yeah, the most reasonable. Yeah, he was like, listen, y'all got to chill. Do y'all remember Vietnam?
Yeah.
Like, do you really think America is going to let us go fight somebody else's war again? Like, y'all don't remember how this shit went? When you around?
Vietnam, which has been over for like 10 years at this point.
Yeah,
Like, it's very recent.
You don't remember these boys? They was like burning, they was burning their draft cards. Like, it was a thing.
Honestly, it's about as far, it's about for them, it's about, the end of Vietnam is about as far as the end of, like, the U.S. occupation of Iraq on a big scale, like 2013 or
like
14,
it just
something like that. Like,
happened.
It's really, really recent for them.
Yeah. So they're like, listen, dog, like, you can't just, we just can't do this without the public support, right?
Yeah.
So old Ronnie is like, all right, I feel you. Maybe we should just bounce then. But Bud is like, listen, if we bitch out, it's going to happen again, right?
Yeah.
We cannot bitch out like this. And so Bud continues to stay in Reagan's ear. And he's like, listen, I'm trying to tell you, we can't do this. But Ronnie's like, nah, they right. I'm up for re-election. Like you said, like, let's go ahead and fall back, right? So why they, so they fall back, right? But when America falls back, we don't really fall back. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we may have removed the Marines, but the CIA stayed. Because remember, we still had hostages out there, right? We still had hostages in Iran, and that were held by Hezbollah. And Hezbollah, again, worst kept secret, is totally supported by the Iranian government, Ayatollah Khomeini. Right. Like, it's just like, it's not a secret. It's an out in the open secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and
that's
it's
our
to
boy.
To this day, like, Hezbollah is armed to a significant extent and often functions as like an extension of the Iranian military. It's a whole thing. Right.
It's
like,
a whole thing.
We all got our proxies.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Which doesn't mean that they're also like that there aren't conflicts between like Hezbollah and the Iranian government, because like, none of these are, the fact that someone's a proxy doesn't mean that like they don't have their own shit that they're doing.
Yeah, they're
too,
not a patsy.
Right? Like, it's the world is the world. And anyway, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, they still got their own thing cracking,
so shit's,
right?
And it's worth note. One of the fun things, there's a really wonderful book called Landslide by my probably favorite journalist who writes books, Jane Mayer, about the Reagan administration in this period. And one of the things she'll point out is that, like, especially once you hit like 83, 84, 85, Reagan is starting to have the early effects of Alzheimer's. And he's also just because of he's kind of his personality. He's kind of this like amiable, like man, and not a very intellectual guy. And so one of the things he's known for by the people that he brings into his White House is that, like, the most important thing is to kind of be the last guy talking to him, because he'll often do. So there are conflicts between McFarlane and Weinberger and Schultz, where they're all like, just like, primarily the thing they're doing is like scheming to get the most time in their schedule, sitting and having like 5-minute meetings with Ronnie, because the more of those you can pack in, the better you can do of like getting it into his little brain, whatever it is you want him to do. Like, McFarlane's calling him on the phone when he's not supposed to be calling him on the phone. It's very funny,
dude. It's so funny. I got some of those stories in my script here, where just they're doing exactly that. Like, did you talk to Reagan? No, I'm about to talk to him right now. You know, because
I'm gonna get in there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I'll send a note right now. Yeah, it's because you want to be the last dude to give him the idea. So yeah, so they're like, yo, if we bitch up, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the shut the fuck up. You ain't gonna do shit. Like, if we don't do shit, they gonna do it again, right? And 5 months later, they absolutely did it again. So in March of 84, there was a Marine named William Casey. And was it Casey? Yeah. No,
yes.
William Buckley. My fault.
Sorry. Casey is the
Casey's
CIA
at home.
Guy.
He's the head of CIA.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
William Buckley. So William Buckley.
There's a lot of these fucking guys.
Yeah,
there's
a lot
of
dudes.
Of.
It's hard to keep them together. But yeah, so William Buckley was one of the CIA agents that stayed back after air quotes, America left. And it was his job to work with the special forces of Israel to try to go get our hostages from Hezbollah out of Iran. right? So that was his role, mm-hmm. right? And then one day, right? And it's the specifics of this is what makes it so beautiful. Everybody knows, or everybody should know, like if you a spy, you probably shouldn't drive your own car to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
you don't want
to. You should probably like, you know, spin the block a couple times, like figure out other ways to go. You know what I'm saying?
Take a different bicycle. Cars. You take know a what bicycle. People don't notice is a fucking bike.
Yes, yes. You should know that the streets is watching. You should just know. Right. Well, the streets was watching this fool trained, you know, everybody has off days, mess around and on his way to work the day that they was going to go run a sting operation to get their folks out. That day he gets captured. Right. Hezbollah captures that fool that day. Put the homie on camera, sends it now to William Casey, the head of CIA. And he like, what now, homie? What y'all finna do? Right. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to go ahead on home. You know, and the CIA sees it, sends it to old Ronnie. And Bud McFarlane is like, I told your ass this is what was going to happen. Right. We need to figure out what the fuck to do, you know, and they have this idea. Bud McFarlane actually has the idea. Bud goes, OK, listen. There's no way in the world everybody in Iran fucks with the Ayatollah and Hezbollah. There's mm-hmm. no way they have to have enemies out there, right? Yeah. So if that's the case, what if we just tap in with those people, right? And while no one can agree on what to do, a year passes. Six more people get kidnapped. You know what I'm saying? Right? While they trying to figure out what the hell to do, mad people are getting kidnapped, right? Yeah. No one can figure out what to do. So they're like, okay, well, we got to figure out something, right? Maybe there's somebody out there, like they said, that doesn't really mess with them, right? So this fool Bud in July 85 gets a call from one of his homies. One of his homies that is like tapped in Israel. This guy named, who is probably my favorite character in this story, Gabonifar. Right.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, this guy rules.
He's my favorite
God.
Character out
he
this mug.
He is such a beautiful con man. And he takes the United. Yeah, I'm so excited for this.
So Gabonifar to me is like, did y'all see that Denzel Washington movie where he was a pilot and he was always an alcoholic and he had a drug connect of this dude, Flight. John Goodman.
John Goodman. Oh, so good in that movie.
Yes.
The movie itself kind of mid, but John Goodman as a fucking drug dealer rules.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Or take so take that image and compare and connect it to the image of Adam Sandler in that Jeweler movie where you're just like just jumpy and like just like always got a hustle going.
Kind of gross weirdo.
Yeah, but somehow obviously has been able to deliver, you know what I'm saying, by the skin of his teeth. Again, that's a call you don't want to make unless you actually have to make it. Right.
Yeah.
So he was like, yo, I heard about y'all's situation. I got a connect from some people out there in Iran that don't really mess with Honani and them. So I kind of feel like there's a way we could get your hostages. I found them that said, yo, we mess with y'all. We're going to get y'all hostages, but we're going to need something in return.
Yep.
And Robert, why don't you go and tell them what they need in return?
Well, you know, so Iran is fighting. There's this whole war with Iraq, and it's not going great.
No,
it's actually the most similar war to the Iran-Iraq war is probably what's going on in Ukraine right now.
Yes.
And Iran, you know, they get invaded and they're on their back foot for a while, but they start pushing the Iraqis back with these human wave attacks. And so then there's this reverse in the war, but they can't really break all the way through the Iraqi lines because Iraq has pretty competent tank battalions.
Yeah.
And so they need, what they're going to need is fucking anti-tank missiles. They're going to need these like new fucking badass anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles. These things called Hawks that can knock Iraqi bombers out of the sky. Cause Iraq is bombing Tehran on a daily basis during this. Right?
Tehran's getting their ass kicked right now.
We need fucking, and when we talk about like missiles, that's the missiles they mean. It's the stuff that we're sending Ukraine right now, right? Yes. It's man-portable, anti-armor, and anti-aircraft missiles.
We need heaters. We need blickies. We need heaters. You right, like, because like, we got our own situation here. We ain't no Boy Scouts, fam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And these are the heaters that like, you only get from the United States.
Only America got
them. Or the Soviet Union directly, right?
Y'all got the good shit.
Because they have their own versions of this stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Y'all got the good shit. We need the good shit, right? So they're like, so Gabonifar like, look, they got them, but you got to sell them these weapons, right? And if you're paying attention, which I'm pretty sure you are, that kind of sound like we trade in weapons for hostages.
It does sound a little bit like that.
It kind of sound like that, right?
Yeah.
But the boy Gabonifar is like, no, 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 that's not what y'all doing. Y'all not giving weapons. Y'all not trading weapons for hostages, fam. Listen, it'll work like this. We'll sell them the weapons and you just tighten us up on the back end. Ain't nothing wrong with you selling us weapons. We your homies. Like everybody know we selling the ledger gonna look the same, bro. Listen, it ain't gonna be, it's no big deal. Go on, chill. Everybody relax. Relax. Listen, sell us the weapons, and that's what the paper will say. And then Iran's our homies. We could do whatever we want with the weapons you sell them. The ledger gonna look fine, bro. Don't even trip. Nobody will know. Everything cool. Everybody cool? Everybody cool. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Right? So the idea is like it will work like this. Israel will get the weapons, get the missiles, get the Hawk things, put the heaters in boxes, take that cargo plane to Lisbon, Portugal, right? Let it go to Portugal. It'll clear customs. Everything's good. Get stamps on it. Come out of Lisbon, fly into Tehran, where Gabonifar will be there and he'll slang the weapons to the Irani people. It'll be super perfect. They gonna get their weapons. They'll go in and they'll give you your hostages and send them hostages home. Which is, of course, in fact, trading arms for hostages. That's exactly what it is. This is us negotiating with terrorists. But again, Gabonifar is like, what do you mean? You're not negotiating with terrorists. That's what we do with these weapons is our business. And, you know, again, if you say it like that and you got somebody as smooth as Gabonifar, you could be like, you know what? You got a friend that could convince you of anything. Do you got one of them?
Oh yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why I've done a lot of the cocaine.
All the stuff you're talking about, right? is the friend that'll convince you of anything. You know what I'm saying? So this is the friend that'll convince you of anything, but you should know good and well after sitting in the amount of holding tanks you may have sat in that maybe I should stop listening
to
this.
You can't prove shit.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't prove nothing. Like the paper looks fine, right? So they run back, they tell Ronnie Reagan, like, well, shit, I mean, run it, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed good to me. You know what I'm saying? Are we cool? Right? And he like, okay, so covert operation. I don't sound like, at least for paperwork is concerned, it don't sound like we done nothing wrong. But for this to work, Ronnie has to run this thing that's called a finding, right?
Yeah.
Which is a document, a confidential document. It's a directive that says the president finds that this operation is in the best interest of national security. It's just a stupid piece of paper. You got to run it to Congress so that nobody is not in the know. Because the last thing the government, like, especially elected officials, they never want to seem like they caught off guard. That they don't know. Well,
a lot of this, the fact that they have to do all this in order to like legally do something like this is because of the shit the CIA got up to in the 50s and 60s and 70s that like we talk about in the CIA episodes. But all of that, those governments they overthrew, the shit that goes on in Argentina and Guatemala, like that's results in a bunch of committees because people find out about it and are like, are you guys just like destroying countries without asking anyone?
Wait, we did what now?
Wait, what?
You don't. Yeah. Oh man, how many times, dog, just think about your parents opening the door, which, and you and a cop are standing on your porch and they like, what did this little fool do? Get in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's both why a lot of this starts with the NSC and not the CIA.
Yes.
You know, they're involved, but it's McFarlane who's driving a lot of what happens.
Yeah.
And it's also why there's the guy who's in charge of the CIA, Bill Casey, his whole motivation, he was like a fucking boots on the ground spook in World War II. Like, like doing some like gnarly body shit.
Yeah.
And his whole motivation in life is to get back to when the CIA gets to do that kind of stuff again, right? So, like, anyway,
I imagine that being much more fun when you just didn't have to, like, tell anybody what you was doing. Yeah. You could just overthrow governments.
Yeah. And Bill Casey is reading about him is fun, but in, like, in an L. Ron Hubbard way.
Totally.
Where like, how did he get away with all of this?
You did what now?
Yeah.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of 1 pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So Schultz and Weinberger are like, okay, this is a huge mistake. But, you know, Bud got Ronnie's ear. I guess we doing this. Now, enter this man named Don Regan, who's the presidential chief of staff, right? Yeah.
But by the way, let's all deal with the elephant in the room. Ronald Reagan's chief of staff was Donald Regan.
It's just...
Okay, let's just sit with that for just a second. Sit with it. All right.
I can't make this shit up. Like, this is like, we're in a simulation. Like, that makes you feel like we're in a simulation.
What? Yeah. You can't let that happen, Ronald. But of course, whatever.
But I mean, he's an absolute dickhole. Like, we'll talk about him later.
He's success.
He's such a dickhole, right?
All of these guys are terrible.
Yes. There was even a moment where this fool, like, tries to get Bud, like dragged in public where he tells the press that this fool was cheating on his wife. He just messy, just making up shit. So anyway, while all this shit is going down, on August 3rd, Ronnie tells this fool, okay, everybody on the ground, okay, it's on, let's do this thing, right? Tap in with Israel, let's tap in with the Israelis, let's get this thing cracking, right? So Gafanifar is like, all right, let's make it happen, let's do what we got to do, let's make sure everything runs. So the thing starts running, and then they put Oliver North is where he starts in place. So Oliver North is the guy that's like, all right, hey, can you oversee all this shit, right? Now, everybody knows, well, not everybody knows, that's the hard part. Nobody knows, except for the CIA, that you can't trust Gabonifar. Matter of fact, this nigga blacklisted. Like he already, but Casey don't tell nobody.
Yeah, while everyone else in the intelligence apparatus is like setting up pinning all of their hopes and dreams on this man.
Yes.
Casey's got like this list of times Gabonifar has fucked us over, and then he's just like not sharing.
Why are you not telling nobody? Like,
the Reagan administration is a hoot. If you could just like turn your soul off for a little while and not think about all the people who died, it's extremely funny.
It's hilarious. Yes, because I'm like, fam, you seeing all this happening, you seeing all this, and you know this fool shady, and you ain't say nothing. Like, you're not a friend. You're not a team player. Like, how is you like, bro, speak up, right? So anyway.
There's this motivation people have lately to talk about how, like, well, you know, the government, when you get right down to it, politics, all these guys, it's the same as like what gangs do. They're just wearing suits. They're just gangbangers in suits.
Yes.
But I might argue, if you're a gangbanger, you have to be a lot smarter, because these guys are sloppy as shit.
You're just,
you would
bad
be in fucking
bangers.
Prison so fast if you were like, these guys are the messiest people.
If this situation happened on the streets, and you was part of the set, and you knew this fool was shady, you would get what's called DP'd, which is discipline. You know what I'm saying? Which means we finna beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you put us all in danger, and you knew better. Like, speak up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you won't get it. You gonna get it bad. So it starts getting cracking, right? First shipment goes in. It's kind of weird, you know, like I said, it kind of worked, went off to Lisbon, you know, goes off to Lisbon, comes back down, they get the thing. That's supposed to be, the plan was supposed to be, once you get your first shipment, you need to send us William Buckley, send our guy, right?
Yeah. And this is like gnarly for, because they've got pictures of Buckley.
Yeah.
You know, they think he's being tortured. I think it turns out that he was just like got sick and was not treated properly.
So that's what they said. They was like, so once the thing works, it was like, okay, so we got this thing. Here's the arms dealer. Let's send it off. And Iran was like, once they got their shipment, Iran was like, hey, he too sick to travel. We can't send him. And you like, wait. Wait, you got your weapons though. Like, we paid for this.
Yeah, we just sent you a lot of weapons.
We need our dude. And they like, oh man, sorry, fam. You send the next one though. Send the next order and we should be cool. Right. Now, anybody's antennas should come up here, right?
Like, obviously a scam. Right?
Obviously something ain't right. You understand what I'm saying? But since these fools are bad at being gangsters, they send the next shipment. But the next shipment goes wrong. Right. You were supposed to send 500 Hawk missiles. Right. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to send 500 Hawk missiles. They only got 100. Right. And they was like, I don't understand what's going on. Did Israel, you know, change the price? Like, something's not, like, the ledgers aren't working. And remember, there's so many middlemen. It's hard to figure out what's going on. Then there's another shipment right in November. And when this shipment happens, it gets sent back. It goes. So when this one's happening, it's supposed to go to Lisbon. Lisbon doesn't clear the customs. Right. So the shit gets sent back. Oh, wait, I'm skipping a part. I forgot. This actually part's even more crazy. When the second shipment comes to Iran, when it gets there, it's got Israeli tags on it. It's stamped with the Star of David. Because remember how the lick was supposed to work. The stuff was supposed to actually be American missiles. You're supposed to go into there, and then we were pretending like we were selling Israeli missiles to them, but they were really American missiles, because that's what Iran asked for. Iran asked for American missiles. But if they come in there and they got the Star of David on it, Iran, like, are you fucking with us? I didn't ask for y'all's missiles. We asked for American missiles.
Yeah.
This shit don't look right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't understand what's going on, but we not giving y'all nobody till we figure this shit out. Right. And America's still like, oh my God, we're still, somebody's going to find out what the fuck we're doing. We have to get this thing working. Right.
Yeah. Finally, now we've given them so many missiles. If we don't get anybody at all, it's worse than if we just give them more missiles until we get people.
Yes, exactly. So they end this like, you just still paying.
It's this, like, beautiful sunk costs fallacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, fam, you're like, any friend would tell you, my G, you getting extorted. You understand what I'm saying?
You're getting fucked, man. You
getting
stop.
Fucked out this mug by everybody. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if I was you, I wouldn't even try to figure out who's at fault. It's time to pull out, fam. Right. So the one shipment gets sent back to Israel. Like, it doesn't clear customs. And remember, Israel ain't supposed to have these weapons. These weapons that are on this freight train ain't supposed to exist. But now, Oliver North need help, because we got to get these weapons out of customs without nobody knowing. right? So who does he call? This fool calls the CIA.
Yeah, there you go. That's
I mean, what am I supposed to do, right? So Bill Casey, who running the CIA, knew the whole time this dude was shady, right? Knew the whole time you were supposed to get clearance, right? Knew the whole time that none of this shit was supposed to happen. The CIA wasn't even supposed to be involved in none of this stuff because you ain't send no papers in, but now I got to come say, he like, why you bring y'all messy? Why you bring me into this, right? But he's got to do it. So he's got to pretend like Reagan signed something. Maybe, and then he goes to get, then he goes to Reagan and he tries to get a retroactive finding. So like on some post-dated checks type shit, like just backdate this thing, right? Turn it in, but just backdate it so everything will be cool. He gets him to do it, right? But this whole time, Iran got their antennas up. Iran like, this shit, something y'all trying to play. We think Israel trying to play us. Right. Now, if you America and you dealing with people this volatile, you kind of want them to think that it's not you. You know what I'm saying? Like it works better in your favor for Iran to think Israel the shady ones.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because if not, they're going to shoot up our people.
Well, and it looks better for everybody if it's going through the Israelis.
It looks better for everybody. We could always blame them. Everything's like,
and the Israelis want to be in this because they have a vested interest in Iran getting better weapons, because while Iran and Israel like do all this very public fighting, Israel actually over the years has kicked Iran a lot of weapons because Iran is also the ancestral enemy of Iraq, and Iraq they considered for a long time to be much more of a threat to Israel. So anyway,
yeah so true. So Iran thinks Israel's playing them. For us, it's cool. So you're not mad at us. You're mad at them. So the question is, do you kill the deal? Like you said, the sunken cost, you kill the deal, or did you keep trying to get your people back? And at this point, it's Israel that looked like they messed up, not us. Yep. However, it's probably this fool who we can't figure out, this fool Gabanifar, right?
Yeah.
Who is, so far, he just been in the wind. He been cashing checks and been like, well, I don't know what to say. Like I've done what we need to do. So the American team, Oliver North and them run back. They tell Ronnie like, okay, look, here's the situation. What do you want to do? Ronnie being as smooth as he is. Remember, he's not smart. He's smooth. Ronnie is like, okay, listen, I could probably explain away the legalities of us doing this. If we get caught, I could probably finesse this. Right. But what I probably can't finesse is letting 6 or 7 hostages die in the hands of Iran because I couldn't get them out.
Yeah.
But he's like, okay, but you're right, dog. Like, this shit ain't working. Let's go tell Gabanifar it's off, right? So Bud McFarlane and Oliver North, they fly to the UK to meet with Gabanifar. And they like, look, dog, this shit ain't working. I don't know what you doing. They not getting their weapons. The numbers is getting messed up. Now Lisbon asking questions. Like, we just need to end this shit, right? Gabanifar like, okay, listen, fam. I don't think you know who you dealing with. Like, you can't just end a deal with these people.
Yeah.
Like, this just, you done tangled with the wrong folk.
Yeah.
And besides, we're good. I got this. Because you got to remember how Gabanifar run. He like, look, man, listen, y'all just chill, man. Just chill. You acting all froggy, man. You acting all jumpy, man. You act like you belong somewhere. We'll be all right, homie. You can't just back out with these people. They killers. And I've been dealing with killers for a while. So we all right. So Oliver North is like, look, man, he probably right. I don't know what else we could do, homie. Like, I don't know how we could do this. And if Reagan is still down, I think we should do this. But Reagan ain't reveal his cards yet, right? So there's some other cards going on. And Bud is like, look, man, I can't work like this. I'm about to roll out. But Oliver North has an idea. You know, two Purple Heart Vietnam head ass has an idea, right? But we'll get to that idea later. But now we're going to have to start the other thread. But before we do that, let's do, what do you guys, what do you call these? Pluggables? That's what you call them?
Yeah. Plug some pluggables. Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, let me tell you about where I can be plugged. I wrote a book called After the Revolution. You can find it on bookseller.org or whatever. You can find it on amazon.com. You can find it on the AK Press website by just Googling AK Press After the Revolution. Please buy it and read it. Many people have, and they seem to enjoy it. That's it. That's the only thing I've ever done.
That and award-winning pods.
I've never, I have not won an award. No,
yeah,
nobody's given me an award.
Yeah, me neither.
Twinsies. Well, you deserve an award. I'll give you an award.
Yeah.
I'll give you.
I mean, I've won an award.
Yes, you have. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Sophie has won an award. Prop and I, you and I are going to have to do some asymmetric warfare now.
I know, right?
Get that fucking trophy.
You know what I'm saying? You and Loftus are running away with it, man.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's definitely changed us. We're definitely worse people.
You and the lofty one, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, never been this angry.
High and above us. That's your new name now, Jamie Lofty.
You and me, Prop, we got to do some Bill Casey, some McFarlane, some fucking Ollie North shit.
Yes, we do.
We got to roll on this.
Yes.
Yeah. Get those goddamn trophies. Anyway.
Shit. All right. I don't know which theme music is rolling in right now, but that's dope.
The Batman. Let's do the Batman theme music.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Leader. Whatever. All right.
Is that we did it.
That's part one. Bye.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.